you will never have friends in City Street like you had in the Forces. But breaking that barrier down is men's sheds. The friends you meet in the shed is very much like the Forces. You're all really in the same boat.
Welcome to Unforgotten Conversations. I'm Doug Anthony. In this episode, we look at what men's sheds can offer ex-servicemen in Scotland. Joining me are Jason Schroeder, Chief Executive Officer of the Scottish Men's Sheds Association, and David Gardner, Chairman of the Scottish Men's Sheds Association. Also with me are Tim Green, Men's Sheds Community Development Officer at Age Scotland, and Shedders and Veterans Stuart Payton and Graeme Rees. So, Jason, what is a shed?
A place where men gather to socially connect with a purpose. And that brings camaraderie and connection to men, where we tend to possibly sometimes self-isolate by our very natures of being men. And this brings the like a magnet attracting iron filings to a place called the shed, where all wonderful mystical things happen.
What kind of mystical things happen in a shed, Jason?
Oh, well, Doug, you know, you've got to go to a shed to experience that, mate. The sheds are made up of the interests of the men. So there's nothing stereotypical about activities inside a shed. So therefore, as the membership changes or new men come and other men go, the shed morphs into the interests of the men. And that's why it's such a sustainable, exciting, live project, let's say, or move now grassroots movement across Scotland.
Can you give me a little bit of an insight, Jason, into the, how did Men's Shed begin? What's the origin story?
Well, the story goes back essentially to Australia, although we have heard that maybe there were sheds in Scotland pre-Australia, and we haven't quite cracked that one yet, but we're on it. And the Australians are going to be upset if we can get the truth about this. But anyway, the story right now is they started in Australia. We say the first shed was a veteran shed. It was created by a lady who could see that in the community development field that these Vietnam veterans were really suffering high suicide rates of trying to, you know, come back into Australia, back into citizenship after seeing and experiencing so many atrocities in Vietnam, and that they needed a place where camaraderie, a single language and experience, and particularly more than anything, trust, could be established, like if they were in their platoon, et cetera, again, when they're away from home. And this men's shed is still a veterans-only shed in Australia. Only veterans can go to it. And from there, we sort of say in the story that they expanded out into community sheds, all types of men going to the sheds. But in Australia, particularly, they are for older men. Where in Scotland, we've changed that model a bit, where we're looking at any man who's over the age of 18 and has time on his hands for whatever reason, whether he's unemployed, underemployed, had an accident, life's changed, retired. It doesn't really matter why you have time on your hands. But if you do, get yourself into a men's shed and start giving back and start receiving back into your life.
Coming to yourself, David, what do you think might be the particular appeal or the benefits to veterans from the sheds?
What we find with veterans is veterans have lived a very controlled life, shall we say, from the point of view of when to get up, when their day's fully planned for them. They've got people all around about them. They become part of teams, part of units, and rely on one another very, very much during their active life. When that finishes, suddenly find themselves back in Civvy Street. That support group is completely gone. The organisation of the day is completely gone. And they find themselves quite often totally at a loss. What we are trying to do is give them somewhere where, I've heard Jason use the word about four times so far, camaraderie. That to me almost sums up what men's sheds are about. It's somewhere where men can come, first of all, feel comfortable. Secondly, feel very, very useful because of the contribution they're making, not only to the community, but to everybody else around about them. They become part of the banter, part of the group. in the upper part of the shed. So it's important for the veterans, I feel. So a home from home, so to speak.
Stuart, you found the shed to be a home from home for you?
Yeah, definitely. When I was 16 and 9 months, I was in the military. And from school to the military, I kind of thought, with the chaos of school and then the regiment of being in the military, I thought this is what adult life is. I thought there's structure, there's discipline, you know, this is how it's going to be. But then when I left the military and I went to college, I realized actually it's not really how it is, you know, and discovered there's a little bit of chaos involved in civilian life. When I was born, I was born dead. I wasn't breathing. My heart had stopped. So I'd suffered from brain damage. And even though that was the case, I still managed to join the military suffering from a mental illness. It was a hidden mental illness, so that's kind of how I managed to circumnavigate the selection process, as to say, you know. But for years, I suffered, progressively getting worse and worse, the mental illness, and to the point where I actually ended up on actively trying to commit suicide. Multiple attempts of taking pills, and the pills progressively getting stronger to the point where I did very nearly succeed. The local councillor in my area, Donald, in what I did, I wasn't fully in the right mind, and I'd emailed him that night when I wasn't in the right mind, and that was a Friday night, and then the Monday morning he was at my door thinking he was going to find a dead body, and he didn't. I was still alive, and he came in and he said to me, look, you need to go to the shed, you know, you need to. And I had been thinking about going to the shed. I'd run a raffle for the shed because I knew they were doing good things. I just had created a barrier in my mind that I couldn't get over, you know, and as a result it impacted my want to go to the shed. You know, I knew I wanted to go to the shed, I just couldn't work up the courage. And Donald had said, look, go to the shed, you need to go to the shed, you know. And running the raffle for the shed was kind of like my wee way of saying, look, okay, I want to come, you know. And then when I took the money in and seen Fred, I signed up to the shed, and it almost instantly started work on some planters and things. But everybody's saying about camaraderie, that is basically what you find at the shed. You find, I mean, I think the environment of the shed is unique in the fact that it's only men. And some men can't open up around, I know it's maybe negative to say this, but can't open up around other women. So if the environment had women in it, probably wouldn't have the same therapeutic effects. You know, like when you go to the shed, you're working next to guys and you're just talking. You don't even realize even what you're saying. And after going through the mental illness programs and everything, seeing psychiatrists and psychologists and everything, you know, over the years trying to resolve my issues, the shed has done everything that they couldn't do. It's been closed for the last year, and talking about this now is kind of hard because I'm suffering again because it's been closed for the last year. So, and I understand why it's been closed, and I know it will be open, so I have like a little glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, as to say, you know. So I'm just mucking my way through it, but I can't even tell you how dark a place you end up in, you know. And having the regiment of the army and having the structure of the army and then not having it, and added mental illness to that, you know. And a lot of the guys, looking back at my time in the military, a lot of the guys actually I've seen were suffering from mental illness as well. Just they just get on with it, you know, in the military, because you have structure and you have, you know, your time to get up and, you know, you have your time for your meals and, you know, and everything's already pre-organized for you. It kind of masks what you're suffering from. And then when you come out, you realize it hits you pretty hard and you realize what's happened. As a result of that, is why I ended up in such dark places all the time. And the shed has given me, it's like positivity. It's like fighting negativity with positivity. And the shed being a positive environment has been, it's been a lifesaver for me. I can't even say enough good things about it, to be honest.
It seems like a magical thing. There's all sorts of benefits, and it's clearly, from what you've said, transformed your life. But it's also about practical projects. And can you tell me a little bit about what the kind of actual practical activities you've done?
I started building raised planters. And these raised planters, they were on feet, because the lady that we were building them for was disabled, and she couldn't bend over lower to reach lower down planters where she was planting her vegetables and stuff, you know. So we put these on feet, and I'm fairly handy with joinery and stuff like that, you know. So the first thing I did was build one of them. I think it's all to do with the community that we live in and improving the community that we live in. It's not just like the shed that benefits men, you know. The groups that you get connected to out with the shed has an exponential benefit to everybody in the community.
Yeah, just thinking from what you're saying, part of the magic or the therapy, as you put it, is the fact that you have a purpose and you're contributing. Would you say that's part of it?
I mean, 100%. Given in the military, you think you have a purpose, but in civilian life, you've had jobs before where you don't feel that you're achieving anything. At the shed, it's completely different. At the shed, you do feel that you're achieving stuff. You feel like you're achieving a lot more in the community and benefiting a lot more people than I've felt anywhere else in any job that I've had. And I think that's a massive part of the therapy that you receive from the shed, is because you feel that sense of purpose.
So Tim, coming to yourself now, what are particularly the benefits for older men from involvement in, or older veterans from involvement in the sheds, but also a little bit about that intergenerational angle where you get maybe younger veterans like Stuart and veterans who are in later life like Graham coming together?
Older men or people who find themselves with time on their hands. Now, that could be through redundancy, it could be through illness, it could be through retirement. They're almost demobbed from their status, or from their sense of purpose, sense of achievement, connections, all the great things about the workplace, like the camaraderie, like the problem solving. For many men, until we started seeing men's sheds develop in Scotland in 2013, there was a massive gap. And sheds have brought that. They've brought along that sense of purpose, that sense of achievement, contributing to communities, that camaraderie. And with all of that, that brings health and well-being benefit. GPs will talk about how people reliant on prescription medicines may become less reliant, may be better able to manage long-term health conditions, like type 2 diabetes, through being active in the shed, through having something routine and healthy to do. And there's a feeling within the sheds that there is such great stuff that goes on. But people want to share that. They want to share that for a couple of reasons with younger people. One, they've got skills, and those skills want to be shared before they're lost. So it's crucial to get younger people involved to share those skills, but also to bring the skills, and this is where the intergenerational bit works, the skills that younger people have that they can share. So without stereotyping or generalizing, often younger people can bring the benefits of being very tech savvy and understanding how you can use social media or how you can use devices and apps to communicate with your friends, relatives, with other sheds. So they bring all of that. But also I think for people like David and Graham, they want to know that there's a little bit of succession, that there'll be someone who'll take their reins when they want to move on to other things, or, you know, when they find that their role is too stressful. They want some folk who are coming up behind them who can go into those roles, and that takes away some of the pressure to know that there's that succession and that there are people in the wings that bring the same dynamism and enthusiasm that David and Graham have, and can step into those roles. And that's good for the sustainability of the men's shed movement, so we can continue to bring those benefits.
And Graham, turning to yourself, could you maybe say a little bit about your armed forces story and how that's perhaps influenced your involvement in the men's sheds today?
I was in the RAF for 12 years. I came out in 84, so I've got over coming out of the forces. In the forces, you get a special kind of humour. If you talk to people about your time in the forces, personally, I don't feel right. I don't like talking about my time in the forces. And I find there are quite a few people that don't. But I think the one thing that you do have in the forces, which is really, really good when you're out, if someone's insulting you, they like you. It's a weird forces type thing. And it goes with the companionship and the camaraderie. It's this togetherness. And it's the ability, if you'll excuse the language, it's the ability to rip the piss out of someone. That's how you know you belong in a group. Because your time in the forces, this is what it was like. So you're just extenuating that sort of humour. I believe they used to call it barrack room humour at one point. But I think it's also this that brings veterans together. You never forget this kind of humour, this camaraderie. You will never have friends in Civvy Street like you had in the forces. But breaking that barrier down is men's sheds. Especially when you have 2-3 veterans in the shed and they can all associate with this. With this type of background humour, if you like.
Can the sheds replicate camaraderie that's in the forces? Is it a good enough simulation? And is it something that other shedders who aren't from the armed forces background, are they able to tune into it and enjoy it too?
Yes, I think so. The friends you meet in the shed is very much like the forces. You're all really in the same boat. You're either retired, a widower, all your family's left home and you're stuck at home on your own. You're all in that one boat. At the end of the day, you need somewhere to go. People that haven't been in the forces, I think they can still relate to guys that have.
It sounds like the sheds and the veterans community have a lot in common. And I was actually speaking recently to the chap who founded the Armed Forces and Veterans Breakfast Club movement. And it began almost a bit like a shed on a common project where a group of veterans were working together to refurbish an old military vehicle. So it does sound like it's a marriage potentially made in heaven. But I'm wondering what could be done to perhaps get the veterans community groups and the sheds connecting with each other and perhaps sharing experiences and promoting to each other's membership what they can offer?
I like to treat a veteran as a shed member, same as every other shed member. You don't want to label people. You don't want them to be, oh, he's a veteran. That's the one thing we're trying to overcome, quite frankly. They're a member of society who find themselves with time in their hands, to quote Jason earlier on, can be from any background. The fact that I'm a veteran, I respect greatly, but I think we should leave that to a certain extent because they then become part of the shed, a member of the shed, a contributor to the shed. And that to me is far more important. The banter aspect that Graham touched upon, I hear this every time the shed's open. The banter is phenomenal. And that cuts across everybody's background.
In South Africa, where I'm from, you know, in those days we did national service. I ended up in the Marine Corps. My PTSD only came out about 6 years after I mobbed out. It didn't even have a label back in those days, and there were no sheds. And like Stuart was saying, just get on with it, because you're a tough guy, and you're just meant to hack it and do it, right? I wish I had a shed. I wish the shed world existed when I was a 23-year-old something. To help with that, we need help as the Men's Shed Association and the sheds. If we could get help with from the MOD, so when the guys demob, they actually have our leaflets. I don't know whether they get a demob pack or something like that saying, welcome back to Civvy Street. But if our information leaflets could be put in there, they could go online, look at our Find a Shed map of Scotland and see where the sheds are and then access them if they want. Because if they never hear about them, it's about prevention. So before you get to the black hole, go demob, get yourself into a shed ASAP, and keep your spirits up. And if you're going to go and look for a job, et cetera, at least you immediately have a community around you, rather than leaving this long period of time to spiral down into oblivion, homelessness, depression, suicide, all those things, Stuart, and I felt. There's no need for it. But we do need help from the MOD and other services, charity services, Poppy Scotland, to start telling them about men's sheds. We really need that support.
And Stuart, coming back to you, did you find when you left the armed forces that it was difficult to keep up these friendships you'd had in the army?
I wasn't part of a local regiment. Mine was a national regiment. So a lot of the guys that I met in the military don't live around me. So, and when I left, actually, I didn't stay in communication with hardly any of them.
There's a lot of crossover between men's sheds and veterans groups. The Melbourne in Saltcoats and Largs, where the breakfast club meet there. Well, one of the veterans who attends that breakfast club is also part of the Three Towns men's shed. And they've worked together and bounced ideas off each other, so much so in the summer when sheds were looking at a way of finding a way to meet safely, they used the breakfast club model to use the Melbourne to come together using social distancing. Up in Cromarty Firth, the breakfast club in Invergordon came along to the shed, and they had a joint music event. And what happens with these crossovers is people see something else for them. So some of the breakfast club members went, these are brilliant, these men's sheds. I'm going to come along to this. I can really see myself here. So the more joint events there are to help people see the benefits, you get that synergy of ideas, but also a way of understanding what each has to offer. Veterans, not all of them, but many of them, and most of them that I talk to, when they're in the shed, they identify as a shedder, not a veteran. And that shows the success of sheds being in a welcoming, inclusive environment for veterans, so much so that they've taken on a new identity as a shedder. Sheds are run by shedders for shedders, and anyone who wants to work more closely with sheds does so on the shed's terms. And the more we can work together on things, the more we can create that dialogue that brings about progress and gets more people to enjoy the benefits of sheds, particularly the veterans community. That is going to become increasingly important as we come out of this pandemic.
To ask each of you just what your hopes are for opportunities in men's sheds for veterans, maybe in the next 1 year, 5 years or longer.
Once all this is over, hopefully guys will like a bit of help. We'll start searching out men's sheds once the word gets out.
Getting the word out to these guys that there is opportunities to learn new skills. I've learned a load of things off of old guys, you know, that I definitely wouldn't have picked up from anybody else. I don't think many people knew I was a veteran when I first went, actually. And then people learned that I was in the military, but initially I was just a shedder.
I think we've got to come down to support because I'm going to embarrass Jason to a certain extent here. This was started in 2013 by one man. We're now approaching 200 sheds either open or in development. And we're getting to a situation where we're putting far, far too much pressure and far too short of staff. What we need to do over the next few years is bring in a team of people, development officers who can cover the country, promote men's sheds and get them working properly. I'm in my 70s now and all my trustees, bar one, are over 70. And this is a great opportunity for veterans or anybody else, for that matter, of a younger age group to come in and assist the old boys.
We need to remember that the whole Scottish men's shed movement is run by volunteers. It's not run by the Scottish Men's Shed Association. We're a support charity. I look at the veteran community as a very exciting manscape, for want of a better word, who have incredible skill sets. You need a can-do attitude. You being a bloke, that's what we want coming through the door. Now, if you don't come through the door, and like Stuart said, it's a bit scary sometimes, having to step into an existing shed where your projection is there's a whole lot of guys who are really chummy and buddies, and they tight, and will they accept me? And that can put a lot of guys off. Now, as we heard today, that's not the case. All men are welcome in the shed, and we need you to make the shed successful. So my 1 year to 5 year to 10 year plan, I would like to see every veteran, every ex-service personnel person who's got time on their hands, and even if they don't have time on their hands, you get yourself into a men's shed. Some sheds are opening at night. My hope is that we're going to have a massive influx of men now coming in to the sheds, which is going to stimulate the movement, open the doors, and support these trailblazing men in their 70s that have had the guts and the can-do attitude to go up against it. And let me tell you, they've gone up against it. And they're getting tired, guys. And if you want something there for you and your sons, you better get your A into B, boys, and get into the shed fast.
Part of the recovery for communities, part of the recovery for Scotland needs to see men's sheds at the forefront of that, particularly for men, men of all ages, but recognising that loneliness and isolation has been enforced on many people by the pandemic, and people are desperate to get back to what they had before or to improve their lives, and men's sheds can bring that. We need to keep spreading the word, and we need to remind people about the magic in sheds.
Today's conversation was brought to you by Unforgotten Forces, a partnership of leading charities dedicated to boosting the health and well-being of older ex-servicemen and women in Scotland. Celebration music is courtesy of Scott Holmes Music.